Well, once again, good morning. This is an important day in the life of me being here at Deep Creek. This is the second ordination that I have got to perform. And it's a special occasion. Ordinations are not to be taken lightly. Because what has happened is that God has poured out His blessing upon somebody and made them a utensil for His work. And in so doing so, He placed that man's name on other people's hearts, and they seen the strides and the character that He's displayed as a member of this church. And so with that, without His knowledge and some with it, people were praying for clarity. And then once the deacons determined that there was a need to add a deacon here at the church, they came to a consensus on who that person would be. And so they presented him to the congregation. The congregation prayed, and by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they elected David Whitaker to be our newest deacon. The office of deacon is not some hierarchy office that's ran through from hereditary forms. I mean, yes, it's great when a father is a deacon and his son can follow, or grandfather, or vice versa. But the number one thing is that the deacon should be set apart by God first. Then, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and prayer and spiritual knowledge, his name and his character becomes clear to everybody else. And so, when you ordain a deacon, it's not a position of where they're going to be the business keepers of the church. They are servants, just like the pastor. We're called to serve the congregation. And the reason deacons were originated, it happened in chapter 6 of the book of Acts. And so if everybody will turn to chapter 6 and their Bibles and go to the first verse, and we'll read verses 1 through 7, and you can see what transpired for the formation of deacons. I'll give everyone a few seconds to get there. And so it is an honor to be set aside and called aside and set apart for Christian ministry. It's an honor. And you don't choose. You know, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, I chose you." And so Jesus has chosen David Whitaker. And so this day we're going to make it official. And so we'll begin in verse 1. It said, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring in of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, 'It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, who they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Let's pray. Most glorious Lord God, I love you, and I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity we have to ordain someone in the history and the tradition of the first century church and the disciples. Father God, we don't take these offices lightly. We don't take these services lightly. And Lord, we just ask You to be upon it. We ask You to lead it. May Your presence fill this church. And may everyone here know that this is Your choice. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Also, when you think about what a deacon should be, I mean, we find out in Acts that a man of honest report. David, I'm going to ask you to come sit in the chair. And then a little while, I'll have Renee. You'll come and you'll stand with David. But I want you to face your congregation. I want the congregation to see the man that you elected to be a servant for you. I would have him kneel, but it's hard on the knees. They had me kneel, and I thought they was going to take three of them to help me get off the floor. And so, I'm going to show mercy. as a true office of minister or a pastor, the office of deacon is not, like I said, it's not a hierarchy office. It's one of example. Only men who measure up to the spiritual qualification mentioned in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13 should be considered for the office. And we'll read Timothy 8 through 13 here in a minute, but on Acts, in chapter 6, verse 3, it says, a man of honest report, a good reputation among those in the church and in the community. I've known David Wicker personally for a long time. Long time. And he has always treated people fair. Always. In his business dealings, in his private business, in his family, he is about as calm and even-tempered as they come. And so, yes, he's an honest report. Full of the Holy Spirit. Bigness in character. In spiritual outlook and personal dedication, he is, and is continuing to do all of those things. Yes, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. I've seen the growth over the years. I've seen it really manifest and explode in the last 18 months. Full of wisdom and ability to discern right and wrong and to stand on his conviction. I've seen that also. Full of faith. Like Stephen, a deacon, faith requires him to risk himself and his possession. Hopefully, in his servants here at this church, he won't be required to give his life for the ministry. Stephen was. And we all know the story. He was stoned. And what did he say? Right before he passed from this world to heaven. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Like the words of Jesus. And so, his faith is growing. As all of our deacons' faith are growing. When I speak to this, I'm speaking to the congregation. I'm speaking to the deacons and their families. And I'm speaking to myself as well. These are lessons that we all need to practice every day. Like our Sunday school lesson. God has commanded us some things. And when we get a command from Jesus or a command from God, they're not something that we can choose or not choose to do. They're not suggestions. They're commands. They're things we're required to do if we want to remain obedient to the Lord. And the sooner we realize these things, the better off we are. And there's a reason for it, which I'm not going to get in here today. But there's a reason that we're commanded the things of Jesus to follow and to do. Because it's not about us, it's about Him and His church. If you will, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll start reading in verse 8. And this is where we get into specifics of deacons. Everyone's there, it says, verse 8, likewise must the deacon be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or a filthy lust, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them be used, the office of deacon being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. For they that have used the office of deacon well purchase for themselves a good decree, the great bond of boldness and the faith which is in Jesus Christ. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God has manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. There's a lot there. You notice, not only did it talk about how the deacon is to act, but it also talked about how the wife is to be. The one common denominator in all this is character. Character. A deacon should be a man of great character. A deacon should be humble. The number one priority of a deacon is to Jesus Christ first. Second to the unity of the church. If you go back to Acts, why were deacons originated in the first place? There was turmoil in the church. Deacons are to be peacekeepers. And if you are combative, if you are harsh, if your attitude is that, how are you going to keep the peace? You're not. Deacons are called to be humble servants. They're called to keep their tempers in check. They're called to keep their mouths in check. Their wives are called to do the same. And see, especially for the wives, because the deacon's going to be carrying a heavy load. Ministry is dirty work. You get involved in people's lives. People will come to you and they'll bear their souls out to you. And you're going to have to deal with it. The first thing I'm going to give you some advice, take it to the cross and leave it. The second thing is as you're contemplating and pray about it, if it becomes too unbearable, confide in your wife. And let her know that if she breaches that trust, it's a bad thing. Bad. Trust me, you don't want me to get involved in it. But the wives, you have an obligation. You're going to hear things. You're going to be privy to information that most folks in the congregation aren't. And you're going to have to let people say what they got to say, and you're going to have to let things work out, even though you know different. Because if you know different and you breach that trust, somebody's going to know something. You'll hear a deacon board say, what happens in the deacon room stays in the deacon room. There's a reason for that. It's not that they're trying to keep things from people. It's because the work of a deacon is serious work. And if they hurt somebody's trust or feelings, they will destroy not only their testimony, but the testimony of the church. It is important that you keep loose lips closed. It's important that the information you're given, you keep to yourself. Grave, in 1 Timothy 3:8, it says grave, possesses Christian purpose, who has great reverence for spiritual matters, and whose word carries weight. When our deacons speak because of their relationship with Jesus Christ, their words should carry weight. You should be able to take them to the bank. Not double-tongued. Dependable and honest in relating to all persons, publicly and privately. You need to be honest. You don't need to lie. If you can't answer, tell them. Look, I can't answer that. It's okay. Because as a deacon, you don't have all the answers. You know how I know? Because as a pastor, I don't either. And it's okay that you don't have all the answers, but we serve one who does. And when it's our time to know and their time to know, God will reveal it to us. Not giving them much wine. Temperate in living. Abstaining from alcoholic beverages. Steward of good influence. Doing all for the glory and to the glory of God. That's the way our lives should be. When we go to work in our public lives, we should be doing everything to the glory of God. When we come home and we mow our grass and we deal with our families, it should all be to the glory of God. When we are in church and we're serving our church members, to be to the glory of God. The way our character works, we should not have it compartmentalized. I can be this way here and this way here and this way here. It should be the same everywhere. Because we are required to be the picture of Jesus Christ to a lost world. Some of us need to take our portrait and get it cleaned. Not greedy or a filthy loss. The right attitude toward material possession. Never exploiting others for your personal gain. Never. A holder of the faith. Give strength to the church fellowship. And possesses spiritual integrity beyond reproach. We should be the first examples that people see. When the church wants to know how we are to act in public, that should be us. They should look to us, the leaders of the church, the ordained members of the clergy or of the ministry. We set the example, the way we treat people, the way we live our lives, the way we treat our families. Tested and proved. In 3:10, Timothy, it tells us, demonstrates his commitment to ministry before being elected to serve as a deacon. He has demonstrated that. He's a Sunday school teacher. Among other things, he serves as committee head on some committees. He's committed to the growth of the church. He's active in the membership. He's active in the activities of the church. Blameless. A person against whom no charge of wrongdoing can be brought with success. It's not saying that because you're a deacon, nobody can bring a charge against you. It's saying you need to be blameless so that it won't be have any success. You're to live your life a certain way. You're to live your life prayed up and dependent on Jesus Christ. The old saying, kill them with kindness. That's what a deacon should do. Kill people with kindness. Doesn't mean you're a doormat. What it means is you're a servant of God and you're letting Him lead your life. Christian family life. A person whose family is well cared for. Whose family relations are healthy and growing. Sometimes that's easier said than done. You raise your children. You teach them the Word of God. They accept Christ. But at some point in time, you turn them loose. And they have to be responsible for their actions. Pray with your family. Teach your family. Lead them to the Lord. There's nothing greater than a father can expect than to see his children accept Christ and be baptized. I know. And then you know they're in the hands of the Lord. No matter where they go, God's got them. They may not recognize it, but we know that. And there's comfort in that. But see, what most folks don't understand, the salvation of the family rests in the hands of the father, whether he's a deacon or not. It's the father's responsibility, and he's going to give an answer for the salvation of his family when he stands before the Lord, because you are the head of the house. That's your responsibility as father. And you will give account for it. Husband of one wife, a model of faithful devotion to one spouse committed to the sanctity of the marriage bond. Ruling their children in their own house as well. loved and respected by the family members, caring for them as Jesus cared for others. It's a reciprocal street. You care for your mother and your father. You care for your children. And one day you get to a place in life to where they're going to have to care for you. They cared for you for many years. And then it comes back to where the children have to care for their mother and their father. Ruling their children and their own homes well. Loved and respected by family members. Caring for them. That's a big task. And it's not just one person's responsibility to rule his family well. Remember, when you get married, what do? You become one flesh. It takes two. It takes the husband and the wife to rule the family well. That's your one flesh. When he becomes servant as a deacon, Renee, you're going to hear stuff. And I'm going to tell you, people are going to not like some of the stuff that he's doing. Don't defend him. Don't do it. Let God defend him. And then if it gets to a certain point, then I'll step in. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be hurtful. Because that's your spouse. That's the love of your life besides your children. And to hear people say things that you know aren't right is going to break your heart. And you're just going to have to tough it up. And you're going to have to stay quiet and trust God to handle it. Bold in faith. Hold firmly to what he believes. Take an ever opportunity for ministry to share the Word of God. That's what our deacons are supposed to do. That's what our members are supposed to do. They're not doing anything different than the member of the church other than the fact that they are set aside to serve you. And eventually, here shortly, you'll either get a letter or a phone call or you'll get a card that's got the deacon name and phone numbers and contact information for your family. And when you have issues, you can contact them. And if you don't feel like you can contact your deacon, all of you got my phone number. All of you got my phone number. Trust your deacon. God's using them. He knows what their strengths are. He also knows what their weaknesses are. And he's preparing them to serve him in this capacity. The duty of a deacon, along with the pastor, includes responsibilities of the pastoral care and counseling of the sick and the needy members and working with the pastor in implementing the general work of the church in both its material and spiritual areas. What has happened in this process? I've explained earlier. God put David Wicker in people's hearts. And there became a need for an increase in deacons at Deep Creek Baptist Church. And God put David's name on people's hearts and they prayed and they come to a consensus and they offered it to the church. And the church accepted the wisdom of the deacons and voted. And so today, we're formally ordaining David. David, I'm going to give you a charge. And I'm going to charge also not only to David, but to every member of the church. Your charge is to, number one, seek Jesus Christ in all things. Number two, protect the unity of the church. Protect the unity of your job and your family. Number three, be humble in all things. Pride is a great thing. Humility is greater. Number four, do everything through prayer. Pray continuous. Study your Word. Put a time aside to where you can have a devotion to God and you can spend time alone with Him so that you can grow personally and be prepared for the things that are going to come down the pipe. And most of all, be true to yourself and your family. Renee, I'm going to give you a charge. And this is for all the ladies of the church. Whatever information you have, put it in your heart. Give it to Jesus. Whenever you see someone saying something, whether it's true or not, don't repeat it. Because what that does is that stops the gossip line. You're smart. You're intelligent. You have great character. You compliment Him. Continue to do so. You know, the Bible says that a good wife in Proverbs, finding a good wife is finding the treasure. You two found each other. This church is the wife of Christ. I found a treasure. You're a treasure. We need to fulfill our obligations to God. We need to fulfill our obligations to this church. We need to fulfill our obligations to our families and each other. I'm going to ask everyone who's been ordained to please line up here in the center aisle. If you have been ordained pastor, deacon, whatever, if you've been ordained, whether you're a member of this church or any church, as long as you've been ordained, I want you to get in the center, and then I'm going to have a moment of ordination prayer, and then I'm going to have those that are ordained come and lay hands on David and pray for him and give him words of wisdom. You just stand in the center right there. You can, Robert, you can back up and be first and right there. Yeah. Renee, I want you to come and stand behind your husband. All right. I'm going to give an ordination prayer and then we're going to start the laying on of hands. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most glorious Lord God, we love you. We're here today to publicly set aside the man you chose as a deacon for this church, to publicly announce our approval of your choice and to support your choice. Lord, we ask you that whatever he does, he seeks wisdom in you. And Lord, that from this point forward, he realizes that his life is set aside to the service of Christian ministry. Father God, I ask you to allow whatever's going on in his life now, whatever needs to be moved aside, that you, God, will invade his life and move it aside. Whatever needs to come to the forefront, Father, we ask you to bring it to the forefront. We ask you, Lord, to make him aware of his weaknesses and help him grow in those. Lord, number one, we ask him to never, ever forget to rely upon your provision for all things. Lord, I ask you to allow each person that lays hands on David to bless him and give him words of wisdom that will last forever. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can, one at a time, or however how you want to do it, just lay your hands and pray, whatever.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you've given me a wonderful son-in-law. God, that he can serve this church, Lord, and serve you in the right way, God. It is such an honor to be here today and lay hands on my family. God, and just bless them, lead, guide, and direct them through everything they do, and may they be better servants to you throughout. Thank you. Lord, we come to you now. Just come to you.
Thank you for this man, Lord. This loving brother is like a brother to me and is like a brother to everyone. You are giving him that gift, Lord. And now it's time for him to receive the reward for it, Lord. I just ask that you release him out into the public, Lord. That you let him touch families and lives, Lord. That he might tell other people about you and help in situations that come up in his family or the friends or people that he knows, Lord. Give him the strength to handle it before him, Lord. We just thank you so much for him and for his family, for his church, for each other, Lord, and for all of our church friendships, Lord. All this means a lot to us, Lord, and if we can, as a church, can help him, Lord, we just ask you to call him up. But now we ask you to watch every day, protect him in his life, and let him to do your will. So we thank you for all this. Amen.
Thank you for this humanity. Thank you, Father, for this message. You can do it. The devil is out running wild. Father, we just have to get a good protection on us. Father, it's because dogs are saving away from us. Father, we just have to save it with others. We're going to pray for you. Thank you.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to have Karen, if she will come up. And we usually have a hymn of invitation. And what we're going to do is we're going to play a hymn. And at this time, while that hymn's playing, I'm going to close us in prayer toward the end. But if you feel led to stand up and come and give pray for David or give David some words of wisdom, feel free to come and do so now. Karen. If you want to sing, we're going to be singing hymn number 230, The Old Rugged Cross. It's up to you. Mm-hmm.
used by the world as the one to say, Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Here they shall.
If you would like, come on, you can welcome them and tell them how congratulate them, whatever God leads you to do.
And then exchange it someday for a crown. Rugged cross and their saints of blood. Such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died.
Anybody else? Concludes our service for today. I'm going to close us in prayer, and then we can go into the fellowship hall. This week, as you go about your business, serve Jesus. Think about the characteristics and the character that it called for to be a deacon. Think about the character that we, as members of the church and followers of Jesus Christ, should display in public. For some folks, the only picture of Jesus that they will see will be you and me. What does that look like? What does that look like? I've got one more thing I want to do, and I'm going to close us in prayer. And I look forward to seeing everybody on Wednesday night.
Certificate of ordination.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most glorious Lord God, we love You and we thank You for Your mercy and Your blessing. Lord, I ask that what went on here today would be forever in the forefront of our minds as far as character, as far as Christian service. Lord, that we serve You with our whole heart, that we seek You first in all things, that we present a clear picture of You to the world. Father God, I love You and ask all this in Your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. About halfway through, I was contemplating it.
Yeah.